Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, interestingly enough, Mexico, their Supreme Court evidently voted unanimously to decriminalize abortion, while our state of Texas has figured out a way to not only almost ban it completely, but to turn its citizens into little bounty hunters, going to go chasing after each other and reporting on each other, snitching on each other. We're going to turn into a snitch society. Now, you know, people were upset that they didn't make any exemptions for rape or incest. And thank goodness for Governor Greg Abbott, because he has figured out how to make sure that no one ever gets pregnant through rape. This is fantastic. He's going to make it illegal. Yeah, that's it. He's going to make rape illegal. It's going to be done. No exceptions. It's kind of crazy. Here to share some thoughts on this great thought on how we're going to make rape illegal, I've asked Chris Hahn to come talk with us. He's a syndicated radio host and host of the Aggressive Progressive podcast. You can check out his stuff over at ChristopherHahn.com. Chris, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm good. So the governor of Georgia, or Texas, might as well be Georgia. The governor of Texas is now, he's figured it out. He's going to end rape.
Yeah, Minority Report was trending on Twitter all day today, and I was like wondering why. I love that movie. I happen to think Tom Cruise is one of the best movie stars, frankly. But it was trending because obviously Greg Abbott has found those special kids. I can't remember what they were called, who would tell you when a crime was going to be committed. Horrible.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy, but he's going to eliminate all rapists. And look, Texas is a kill 'em state. So is this, we're just going to go kill the rapists? Is this what he's talking about? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know what this guy's been talking about ever, frankly. He's so afraid of Dan Patrick primarying him and losing, you know, the governorship. And I don't know, maybe he has his eye on some sort of national office, but whether it be president or something else, that he is just, you know, really just going to bizarre lengths to be the most conservative guy in America, whether it comes to abortion, voting, COVID. He just wants to do whatever he can to appear to be as far to the right as possible.
Yeah, it's crazy. But here's the thing. There's part of me, and I'm hoping I'm right here. And obviously, you've been doing this a very long time. You're as a Democratic strategist, you know the game. I think this is a massive overreach. I have seen women who have never been political finally coming awake to the reality that the Republican Party, not their friends.
Oh, it's a gift. I don't think we're talking about Afghanistan anymore, are we, Rick? And I thought we might be talking about it the rest of the year. The 2022 election will be about Roe v. Wade. It'll be about choice, period. That is the election. And there's virtually nothing they can do between now and then to change that unless the Republicans in the Senate decide to codify Roe v. Wade into law so that it's not an issue in 2022. And I don't see them doing that.
Yeah, but
so I fully expect choice to be the issue, and hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And they have scorned half the population of this country. So good luck.
No. And this is one of those moments where I'm going, you know, because I've known people who have said, no, they're never going to be able to get away with this. The Supreme Court will never allow it to happen. I'm going, they just did.
Yeah, they just did. And frankly, there are all sorts of precedents that they just blew by here. Forget about Roe v. Wade. I mean, that's a major precedent. But other precedents about government delegating police powers and governmental powers to an individual who can arbitrarily enforce them. You can't do that in America. There are dozens of precedent in law with that the Supreme Court had to ignore not to grant injunctive relief, which says to me that we've got a bunch of zealots on the Supreme Court that are just going to do whatever it takes to get rid of Roe. And whether it's, if this case gets back to the Supreme Court, and I believe it will probably very soon, they may overturn the Texas law, but I don't see them overturning the Missouri law, which will in and of itself get rid of Roe.
Or the Mississippi one. Isn't there a Mississippi law as well?
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with the Mississippi law, but I know that the Missouri law is on the docket for the spring session of the Supreme Court. So yeah, hand down the decision getting rid of Roe at the beginning of the summer next year. Fantastic.
Good. Just so you can get out of dodging.
Good planning. Good planning. I know that this has been 35 years of planning by the Federalist Society and, you know, right wing nuts in the conservative movement and the Republican Party. But the timing couldn't be worse for them. I think gerrymandering probably gets them the House no matter what happens. Probably. And I say probably because I do think this is a really bad thing for them to be doing right now. But this saved the Senate, the Democrats. The Democrats are going to pick up seats in the Senate.
No, this is
huge. And I said on my radio show 2 weeks ago, you know, I quite frankly believe that you have an opportunity here to maybe pick off a senator right now. Lisa Murkowski, why are you still a Republican? You're pro-choice. They're not going to nominate you in Alaska. Time to come over. Just come over. It's fine. You could be like Angus King. You could be an independent, whatever. Caucus with us. Get rid of the filibuster and let us pass a few things like voting reform.
Yeah, we absolutely need it. And this is one of those moments where I was going to bring that up. At some point, do we not have to start talking about passing some legislation and the filibuster standing in the way of getting anything done?
Yeah, we got to do it, right? I mean, look, everybody's gnashing their teeth over Joe Manchin. First of all, there are 50 Republicans who are worse than Joe Manchin, all 50 of them. Yep. Any one of them on any day is worse than Joe Manchin. I'll take Joe Manchin over any one of them. Second, I don't think Joe Manchin wants his legacy to be the guy who stood in the way of a voting reform that would ensure people had the right to vote in this country. I don't think that's who he is. So let him say what he's got to say right now. I know he's, you know, giving us agita over Biden's Build Back Better plan, over the infrastructure package. I know he's giving us all sorts of grief. Just relax. You know, he voted to move it forward. He's going to vote to pass it. It's going to get tweaked. It might not be $3.5 trillion. It might be $3.4 trillion. We'll be fine. It'll be fine. And by the way, it's a 10-year spending plan. So it's not like it's real money anyway. So just everybody relax.
Yeah, but it is over the long haul something we desperately need. And it has to get done. And if it doesn't get done, what do you think the chances are, since you brought this up, what do you think the chances are of us not getting the $1.2 trillion hard infrastructure plan? Because the progressives are going to go, well, if we're not getting this, screw you, we're not going the other way.
We're getting both of them. We're getting both of them, and we're getting them this year.
Okay, that's what I want to
hear. Let me explain something. I don't know if Josh Gottheimer is listening to your program. I know he might listen to my radio show and my podcast. But Josh, you won't get reelected if this stuff doesn't pass. Sorry. It doesn't mean you're going to lose a primary. You're not going to win. No Democrat is safe if we fail to pass this. We remember what happened to the Democrats when Clinton failed to pass his big budget plan, when Obama had issues passing his big plans. Now, you've got to do the work, okay? We're tired of letting the right wing in this country define where the center is.
Yep.
Okay? I appreciate what Bernie Sanders and AOC and others have done to move the debate back to the center by taking positions on the left. Yeah, I think this will get tweaked. It should get tweaked. That's what legislation is. But it's going to pass, and it's going to pass this year. Nancy Pelosi will get it done, and my former boss, Chuck Schumer, will get it done in the Senate.
Yeah, that's what we need. Basically, go big or get sent home. That's right. Been my mindset on this from the very beginning.
But by the way, Rick, nobody's talking about it other than a few people, like a few pundits in Washington. Chuck Todd says stupid stuff about it every couple of days. Joe Manchin will write an op-ed, but nobody – I don't know. You walk around town. You and I are both political. We're known to people as, you know, political types. Nobody comes up to me and says, you know, they better stop that spending plan. Not one person. I've done 2,500 national television appearances. I was at a wedding this week, and a lot of people wanted to talk politics to me. Not one person said, you know, how are they going to stop the spending plan? Nobody.
You know, because people want it. Once you find out what's in it, it's going to benefit people. I think it's what we need. It's the kind of reset we've needed for a while. You brought up Chuck Todd there for a second, who took kind of a public spanking by Claire McCaskill, which I think you needed in this moment over this Texas abortion nonsense that's going on. And she said, look, there's no both sides in this. So don't even start with that nonsense.
I can't watch him anymore. Meet the Press used to be a part of my weekend. I used to enjoy it. And frankly, I remember when Chuck Todd when I first started working in the Senate, Chuck Todd ran like a newsletter that was read by everybody in Washington. It was fantastic. It was Daily Wire. It was kind of gossipy. I don't know what happened to him. I guess he's still kind of gossipy. He's unwatchable to me. And you know, you guys know where my agent is, NBC. Give him a call. I'm available on Sunday mornings. I got nothing else to do but walk the puppy.
And there you go. And I'll put in a good word for you as well. I think you're a good guy. I hope people check out your website, ChristopherHahn.com, where you can pick up the Aggressive Progressive podcast there, right?
That's right. The Aggressive Progressive is available on any podcast platform. You got some weird, you know, iHeartRadio, Apple, Spotify, Pandora. But if you got some weird, you know, quirky podcast system you're using, it's there too for some reason. I don't know how it gets there. It just gets there.
It's everywhere. We got smart people putting stuff out, and that's a good thing. I did want to ask you about what's going on in Portland, because the city of Portland, evidently they've got this emergency resolution banning trade with Texas. So I wanted to get your thoughts over, you know, is this a viable solution, or is this just headline grabbing stuff?
I mean, it's headline grabbing. You know, we have a constitution that says you can't do anything to stop interstate commerce. Everybody just stop. You know, the Texas law is unconstitutional. The Supreme Court, and I'm not, you know, forget about the abortion part of it. You know, you'd have to overturn Roe v. Wade to have the 6-week ban. But having people, you know, with vigilante justice enforcing it, it violates so many laws in the United States, so many provisions of our constitution that have been thoroughly vetted by the Supreme Court over the last 200 years, right? But Portland is doing the same thing. You can't infringe upon interstate commerce. Now, if the mayor of Portland decides that he's not going to buy something from Texas, then he doesn't have to buy things from Texas. But you can't outright ban it. That's an infringement on interstate commerce.
Yeah, I just thought, I saw that. I'm like, boy, if that isn't stupid. But, you know, hey, you got to make your protests where you can. And
yeah,
I'm kind of okay with that. That's the way we go. But you brought up the court. And look, a lot of people now are finally realizing just how bad this court is. I've been saying for years the Supreme Court is horribly anti-worker, horribly anti-working class. All of the things that I've been fuming over all these years, the attacks on labor rights, all of the corporate decisions, because while some may believe that this court was compiled to take Roe away, I don't believe that at all. I believe this court was compiled to take us back to the days of Lochner, take us back to the days where if you were desperate enough and hungry enough to work in poverty conditions for desperation wages, that was your choice, buddy. The abortion part of it was the sweetener on top to get the lunatic fringe to vote for them. So for me, there's a moment here where working class people and women, because abortion is a working class issue, maybe we finally realize to just how horrible this court is.
Well, you know, you bring up Lochner, and most people don't even know what that is, right? But everybody knows what Roe is, and you're right. You're absolutely right. This court has been making small decisions that go unnoticed by most Americans that hurt working men and women every single session. And it's only going to get worse. The fact that they are taking a shot at a well-known decision that everybody is aware of will bring the attention that is finally needed for Americans, particularly Democrats and liberals who tend to doze off in the off years. Get them awake and come out and vote. You know, and I know that Republicans around the country are making it harder to vote, but you know, I feel a wave coming. I do. I feel that the Republicans have revealed themselves for who they are to too many Americans now, and there is no turning back.
This big
lie nonsense, you know, having a guy like Larry Elder be your leader in California, you know, it's people know, people see what's going on here. And I get it. There's a lot of misinformation. It's going to steer people in a variety of different directions. But when the rubber meets the road, the real messaging here is that the Republicans are taking away rights of Americans every single day, and they're touching them through the courts and through their policies. And you better get with it. You better start electing Democrats at every level of office. And we'll see. We'll see what happens in this California recall next week.
So just so I get this straight, I got to get this straight, Chris, because if I'm getting you right, you're saying this is the moment we finally wake up, because we have these conversations every time the court does something horrible. I had this back in 18 when they rammed through Janus. I had it back when they did the Knox case. I had it back Epic Systems, Johnson Control. All of these things are going, this is the moment. This is now. We're finally going to wake up. Is this that moment we finally wake up?
It's the moment. You know why? Because it's undeniable. People know this decision. They know what's going on
here. I wanted to get that. So is this now the moment where Joe Biden does something like, oh, we're going to pack the courts? Or is this is a voting moment?
It's a voting moment. I think he should pack the courts, because frankly, Mitch McConnell stole at least one Senate seat. And frankly, you know, there are five people that are put on that court by presidents who were elected with a minority of the vote of this country. So yeah, I would pack the court. I don't think he's gonna. But I think that we need some significant court reform in this country. And I don't think that the Democrats will have the votes to do that right now. But I do think, like I said, I don't think Joe Manchin's going to allow his legacy to be the guy who stood in the way of election reform and allowed this democracy to crumble. And if he wants that to be his legacy, well, then that's not the guy I know. So I think he's going to change his. I think, you know, I get it. Let him do his thing. Let him play his, you know, his cards the way he needs to play them for his own electability in West Virginia. But at the end of the day, I think Joe Manchin's going to be there when we need him.
Yeah. So last question I've got for you, because, you know, I'm looking at the Supreme Court, and I remember I watched intently all of the justices, confirmation hearings. And I remember John Roberts very clearly, Mr. Balls and Strikes, going to call balls and strikes. He believed in stare decisis. He decided law, wasn't into, you know, rewriting things out of whole cloth. The legacy of the Roberts Court is going to be just that, overturning longstanding precedent, destroying all of that stuff. That's the precedent of.
Well, in his defense, Rick, he did vote with the liberals to hear this case that on the Texas law. He voted with the liberals.
That's the funny part of this. There was a moment where we thought he was the Antichrist and he was bad. He was now he doesn't look that bad.
We take him over Justice Alito or Kavanaugh or Amy Coney Barrett. You know, I still think that Gorsuch, just reading his opinions over the years, I still think that he's a guy, if you can make a black letter law case to, I mean, that doesn't help you in a thing like Roe. But if you can make a black letter law case to Gorsuch going to come down on the side of black letter law. Gorsuch will, in my opinion, vote to overturn this Texas law because of the, you know, literally over 150 years of precedent of not allowing vigilante justice, not allowing the state to delegate powers to an unaccountable civilian. You just can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, you could delegate it to a specific group who you're paying to do that, and there's some sort of contractual relationship. You just can't blanketly say to anyone, go ahead and enforce this law. That's not the way it works in the United States of America.
Yeah. But my problem with Gorsuch, and I hope you're right, I want to believe. But my problem with Gorsuch is this was a guy who was willing to let somebody die on the side of the road because his brakes froze up and gave him the choice of get fired from your job or die. And there was no middle ground. So I got a problem with that. But I hope you're right. I hope he does come around. I hope this does.
He's a weird guy. I don't think he's pro-choice. Don't get me wrong. And I do think that if he's given the opportunity, he will get rid of Roe, because that was what they raised these people to do, right?
Correct.
Federalist Society, they've all raised these people to kill Roe, which ultimately is, you know, it's a murder-suicide plot, because when you kill Roe, you kill the conservative movement in America.
Yeah, this is where I don't go as far with you on this. Yes, Roe was a big part of it. I'm still, their number one goal is to side with corporate America at every turn.
You're right. You're right. But like I said, you could do that because people don't even notice it. It's like the frog boiling in the pot of water here.
Yeah.
It's a slow kill. Roe is a shot to the head and you see the blood all over the place. And now everybody's mad at you for it. And you better run.
Yeah, let's hope they stay mad.
You know?
Yep. I'm right there. Let's hope that they stay mad. And when they get mad, they go to the voting booth and they vote. Chris, I appreciate the time. Always good talking to you, man. Hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Great to be here, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. Chris Hahn, syndicated radio host, host of the Aggressive Progressive podcast. Find that over at ChristopherHahn.com. We'll get links out on how you can find that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.